Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to begin our lesson today. I want to ask you to consider this topic. We've been teaching on the series, Change Your Frame, Change Your Life. And part three will be entitled, What is in a Name? What is in a name? I would like to ask you to, if you haven't heard the first two messages, you can go to my website at brianhudson.com, and we have posted there the lessons, the podcast, the YouTube video, and reflection questions. In this series, I'm giving you some questions to answer to help strengthen your understanding of the Word. Now, today, I won't post those questions today, but I will tomorrow when this message goes up on the blog. Okay, so go there, brianhudson.com, and get caught up. It's a very important series. I believe it's a life-changing series. There's nothing more important than how you perceive God, how you perceive your life, how you perceive your world. And so we're all dealing with something called a frame. But first of all, I'm going to go back to my notes and share with you this opening scripture. Let's go to Romans 12:2, our foundation text for the series. It reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're going to use and have been using the parable of a frame, the parable of a frame. And I want to be clear about this. Now, we use words different ways, and I'm trying to find a way to get us to think about the importance of renewing the mind, okay? And so Jesus used parables. I'm using a parable. I'm calling this the parable of the frame. Now, when I speak of frame, you might think of an actual picture frame. You have frames in your house. In fact, look at one right now. If you're in a room with a frame, look at the frame. That frame has inside of it a picture. I see a frame over here with my doctor of ministry degree. I see a frame with some picture from Hawaii, picture of a sunset, right? So you put important things in your frame. What's important to you goes in the frame. Secondly, if you're into photography, then you know that the importance of framing to compose the image. So of all the things you see around you, you frame up one part of the image that you see around you. You take a picture of that, and that becomes the image of what you want to take away from all you were seeing in your environment. You might think of framing as a position or a point of view, right? Or you might think of frame of mind, which is someone's disposition. So we've covered framing in the previous messages. I think it's a very important key for us to think about how we approach life. We all have frames. We all approach life a certain way. As a matter of fact, let's say this, we do not look at something or someone and then apply a frame to it. Rather, people constantly project into the world around them their frames that allow them to make sense of it. I use the example of inner city, right? I say inner city. Well, you don't apply a frame to that concept. You bring your frame. And therefore, if you see inner city in a certain way, you'll think of, you know, crime and kids without fathers and homelessness and all this. I see the city as the best of everything, you know, most diverse people, best restaurants, museums, you know, inner city, right? And inner city isn't just where the black folk live or the troubled people are. Matter of fact, when people come from the suburbs and move to the inner city and take it over, they stop calling it inner city, right? Now it's a preferred neighborhood. So let's understand, we bring our frames to every situation. When I say, you know, black men, black males, you bring a frame to that, right? When I say, you know, U.S. government, you bring a frame. So we have these frames, some of which are good, some of which are bad. I want you to be aware of what frames you're bringing to your own life, how you view yourself, how you view your world. And I believe that through Christ, we can have the correct frame. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. How about that? So think about that. That's a good frame. That's the best frame, having the mind of Christ. I want to, again, just review that. Now I'm going to go forward today. And our topic today, again, is what is in a name, right? So people whose name changed their frame and changed their life. We're going to look at some people in the Bible whose name changed, indicating a change of their frame, of their reference points, of their outlook, and also their lives changed as a result. Again, our overall message here is change your frame, change your life. And talking about names, we all have a name. I'm named Brian. And now in our culture, we use names as handles, right? So you say, Brian, I'll look up, because it's a handle. Now, Brian, the name actually means strong. All of our names, most names mean something. Some names have no meaning, really, which is okay because you get to choose. You get to choose your meaning. And even though your parents gave you a name, you still get the opportunity to live out your life the way that you would like to live. And so even though we sometimes mock certain names, we shouldn't do that. But the fact is, your given name doesn't determine your whole life. Right now in the Bible, it was more of a practice where names were given to denote purpose. Names were carefully chosen. God chose names for people. We'll see this in a moment. And so I want you to understand names. There's a lot in a name, but it's mostly what you make of it. Right. It's mostly what you make of your name, not just your name in terms of letters, but name in terms of purpose. All right. Let's talk about some names that were changed. And the reason why. Let's talk about Abram, right? Start with Abram. And we know the story. Let's look at the story a little deeply, more deeply. In Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, God said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Amen. Now, Abram was a rich landowner. He lived in Haran. We know this from Genesis chapter 11. And he was doing great. He was doing fine where he was. But God had a plan for him, right? He had everything except the child. He had money. He had land. He had animals. He had all this stuff. He had a wife named Sarai. Her name changed as well. But she was barren. And so that he had everything except a child. And so that God had a purpose for him that went far beyond him having children, he and his wife, because God had a big plan for him. So we're going to look at this next scripture here. And it says here in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4. Again, God changed his name. He changed both their names. And God made a covenant. When he changed their name, he made a covenant. A covenant is the beginning of good things happening. I mean, when you want something good to happen, make a covenant. And so it says in Genesis 17, 4 through 6, the promise God gave a covenant. He said, and you will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Wow. Now, the word Abram meant exalted father. He was a great father, you know, to his people. But Abraham literally means father of nations, right? So God changed his frame from being a father to his people, to his, you know, those he knew, and not an actual father yet, but a father-like one. And he went from being just a father type person to being a father of nations, right? So God changed his purpose. God changed his frame. Now we know the backstory was when God said that they would have a child in an advanced age, they laughed, Sarah laughed. And they, we're too old for this. Our time has passed. And they just kind of laughed at it. So God had to work with them, right? And Romans says that he became fully persuaded that what God had promised he could perform. So God has to persuade us to change our frame. Sometimes you've been in a certain frame for so long, you think that, well, this is how I am. This is where I am. I can't change. And you mock even the idea that you could change. But God has the power to change us. All we got to be is willing. Amen. So it's a long story. That's a whole message by itself. But I'm highlighting the point that here's somebody whom God changed, right? Whom God changed by changing his name and then changing his frame. Now, by the way, Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, her original name, meant princess. But Sarah means my princess. So God, made her even greater in purpose with her husband, Abraham. All right. So hope you appreciate that reality. Let's talk about Jacob. Jacob, who had a name change. This is another phenomenal story. I can't really get into all of it. But in Genesis 32, verse 22, this is the encounter he had. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the fork of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. Watch this. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched or out of joint as he wrestled with the man. Now, I believe that we know this backstory, and he was developing Jacob, and Jacob was displaying his character of excellence. Now, you know that when I teach this lesson, I got a message called the Excellence of Jacob, and we always hear he's the supplanter. He was the deceiver and all that because of what he did, with Esau. But my take is, they both were firstborn. They both had birthright privileges. Now, even though Esau came out the womb first, Jacob came later or after him. In fact, the Bible says when they brought Esau out, Jacob had hold of Esau's heel. That's how close he was. And so then Jacob came out. And so the word Jacob literally means one who takes the heel. Now, we've made him a supplanter. We've made him a deceiver from the story of the stew. But the fact is, if someone had to have the birthright, so if Esau didn't want it, thank God Jacob did. And I just have a different take on that whole story. And I believe that the Bible says God loved Jacob and hated Esau for the very reason that Esau rejected his birthright. What belonged to him, what God gave him, he had no respect for. Hebrews says Esau was a profane man. Profane means no concern about spiritual things, right? A lot of profane folk here around nowadays. But the point is, we honor Jacob. God said he loved him. He loved his behavior, right? God loves everybody, but the behavior he loved, he hated Esau's behavior. So don't get it wrong now. God doesn't hate people, but God does hate behavior. The point, though, is that which Esau did not respect and did not want, Jacob received it. Jacob wanted it. Now, so coming forward, years after all this, now here's Jacob with God at Bethel. The Bible says that there was a man who wrestled with him. Now, the man we know was, the presence of God. It was God manifested through this being, this creature, this angel, if you will. But the point is, Jacob wrestled with him. Now, watch this. It says next here that, verse 25, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until or unless you bless me. Watch what the man asked. The man asked, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. What he's saying is, I'm the same guy as a baby who had hold of my brother's heel. I'm the guy who takes a hold of purpose. I'm the one who won't let go. I'm that guy, okay? I'm the guy who doesn't give up, who won't let go, who won't quit. And that was his name. This wasn't J-A-C-O-B, right? Your given name isn't just the spelling. Your name isn't just what you write down on pieces of paper. Your name is who you are, your character, right? How you're shaped, how you're molded, who you are in God. That's your name. He says, what is your name? Again, this is God. It's a God encounter. See, God is setting him up for his own purpose and destiny. He says, my name is Jacob. The man said, or God said essentially, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And the name Israel means prince. It means prince. So now we understand a little clearer how, in this case, what is in a name, you see. And so that how the name changed from Jacob to Israel signifies his purpose and destiny and a change of frame, right? I mean, a dramatic change of frame. And so this is how God brought Jacob into his larger purpose. And this is how God brings us into larger purpose. Sometimes God changes our name. I mean, even though we have the same given name, but how we view ourselves, you see. I mean, I grew up, I'm Brian. My nickname was Rocky. You know, I was Rocky for the first 20 years of my life. And Rocky was my neighborhood name, a fun name my dad gave me. And, you know, my nickname, right? Nickname. But when I got saved, I decided I'm not going by my nickname no more. I'm going by my given name, Brian, which means strong. Anybody call me Rocky? I have a few people call me. Only, listen, my old friends or family members, old cousins and them, you know, they still call me Rocky. One old friend called me Reverend Rocky. It doesn't offend me at all. I'm just saying that I know that I'm not my nickname, all right? I'm the name my parents gave me. I'm the name that God has given me in terms of purpose and destiny. And so it's important to know your name, not just, again, the letters, but the purpose for which God brought you forth. All right. Genesis 35 and 10. Again, he said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel and also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations will come from you, and kings will come forth from you. That looks exactly like what God told his father, right? Abraham. See, so it's consistent. This pattern is consistent. When God wants to change your frame, he may even change your name. But more importantly than the physical letters is the purpose. And again, he said, calling him Israel, he said that I'm God Almighty, right? This is the covenant God speaking now. This is when God makes covenant, he tells you what his part is in the covenant. You're not by yourself. A covenant by nature is a mutually binding association. So when God makes covenant, he tells you what the terms are, where the strength is. So he said, I'm God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you. See, that's consistent with what God told his father. So again, these are important principles. And Jacob is a great example of how God can change a name, change your frame, upgrade your purpose. Let's talk now about Peter. John chapter 1, verse 42. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas, which being translated is Peter. Simon was a common name. We know he was a fisherman. We know something about his background, but also we recognize how dramatically Jesus changed his life, right? So Peter, we see, is a whole other person after Jesus came into his life, even to the point where, you know, when he was chosen as a disciple and he walked with Jesus but had the occasion of betraying him. Remember that? Betrayed Jesus. And when he was identified, weren't you with him? He said, no, he cursed, you know, heck no. And but all that led to remorse. But eventually when Jesus resurrected, he said, go tell Peter. So Jesus didn't give up on Peter, even though Peter had a failing in his life. The point is, his name Simon only meant he has heard or to listen. But Peter literally means rock or pebble or rock, right? Or stoned. So Peter was the name that Jesus gave him because Jesus changed his frame. He went from being Simon the fisherman, son of John, to being Cephas or Peter, disciple of Jesus, right? Again, a very clear example of what it means to change our frame and change our name. Paul, who was formerly called Saul. And now understand that this is somewhat a different situation because Paul was not a new name. We'll see here in a moment. But Acts 9 and 4 says, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You'll recognize that this was the encounter that Saul had with Jesus on the Damascus Road to persecute Christians. His unsaved self, he was a Pharisee, a hater of Christians, and was going to persecute and arrest some and injure others. And so Jesus encountered him. This is a huge frame change, right? I mean, it's sometimes God will change your frame. God can change your frame. He made them blind, knocked them off the horse, made them blind. You know, so God can get folks' attention. He got mine one day. I'm sure he got yours. But going back to the story, notice that Jesus took Paul's actions against believers personal because Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Man, Saul never touched Jesus, the man, when he lived, but when you touch Jesus' people, you're touching Jesus. And that's the mistake that Paul or Saul made. But God had a bigger plan for him, and I think we understand that. Now going on, so then the first time we find Saul called Paul, it says, Acts 13:9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. That's the first time we have mention of Saul being called Paul. But the thing is this, Paul had two names. Paul had his Roman name and Paul had a Latin name. And this is the fact for many people in that region, so that Saul was his Roman name and Paul was the Latin version of the name. They spoke different languages. And so basically Paul was the Latin version of Saul. But after Saul got saved, he chose to use the Latin version of his name, Paul. And we hear him referred more and more as Paul. And the reason for that is that this was typical of Paul's missionary style. He wanted to put people at ease. Now, we know because early on, when somebody heard that Saul was coming, like Saul's coming, you know, he's saved now. He's saved now. And so because reputation was so bad as Saul, he began to be referred to as Paul. And now we know that in his letters going forward, he signed letters as Paul. He used Paul after his frame changed, right? His frame of the persecutor, the arrester of Christians, the persecutor of Christians, that was Saul. But when God saved him and changed his frame, he then began to be known as Paul. And so now we read here, 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some, right? And this again was Paul's philosophy. He would do whatever he could do to reach people. He even shaved his head on one occasion. I mean, Paul made some, he made some mistakes along the way too, trying to be, you know, trying to serve everybody. But he never lost sight of who he was, right? So he said, I become all things to all men, but not without faith in Christ. He never changed the principles. He would change his methods, but never his principles. That's a good lesson for us as well. We should be willing to change our methods to reach people. Okay, so let's look now, another example, and this is going to bless you right here, okay? It's Black History Month. And next example of name change I'm going to give you is Isabella Bomfrey, whom we know as Sojourner Truth. And this is also biblical because she was a believer and a preacher, called of God, and all that. And so we know her as Sojourner Truth. But I want you to understand that the backstory of this, she gave herself the name of Sojourner Truth after she became convinced that God had called her to leave the city and go to the countryside, testifying of the hope that is in her. See, so she was, you know, the Bible talks about testifying to the hope that's within you. Isabella, known as Bella Bomfrey, was born in New York, actually. And at the time she was born, New York was still, they still believed in slavery. Now, northern states abolished slavery before southern states did, but there was a time that Sojourner Truth, or again, Bella, she was known then, was born into slavery. I learned that she was born into a slaveholder who was actually Dutch. She only spoke Dutch until she was 9 years old. How about that? Only spoke Dutch until 9 years old. And I found out here as well that she was sold at auction with a flock of sheep for $100. Now, so someone bought her and a bunch of animals for $100. That's what we people thought of, you know, Black folk in that day. But again, she had an encounter with God. Now, we say she got saved because, you know, encyclopedias, Wikipedia never really say what happened. Well, she got saved, what happened, filled the Holy Ghost, what happened. And so that when she had an encounter with God, then she changed her name, representing her frame. Her frame changed, right? I'm no longer a slave, no longer property, or just a woman. I am a woman of God. I am sojourning for truth. That's a pretty deep name, you know. I mean, she had the insight to give herself a powerful name. Another account of her, it says here that said, the Spirit called me and I must go. So it's a great story. Look her up. Again, it's a great read on Black History Month. But it fits also our lesson today. And I believe it makes a good point that how you can change your frame by changing your name. And so if you can't or should change your actual name, at least recognize the purpose of your name can change. You can change your frame, upgrade your purpose, amen, and serve God's will in your life. It's a beautiful story about Sojourner Truth. All right, next. Well, here's the name of all names, Jesus. Praise God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 reads, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's the best example of how a name represents purpose. Now, Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And that's what Jesus' name means. And so the instruction to Mary and Joseph was don't give him the name you want him to have, right? But give him the name that God wants. Give him the name of Jesus. And of course, that framed Jesus from the very first, right? He wasn't one who had to change his name and change his frame. I mean, Jesus always had the correct frame. And so that others had to realize, you know, even Joseph, I mean, Joseph had to learn. This is who this is who, you know, who your wife is giving birth to, that you're going to be, you know, a father to one who was born and conceived supernaturally. And yet they understood. I mean, Joseph struggled because obviously when they were betrothed, Mary was pregnant, and that was a cause for divorce right there. But he understood. God told him too what was going on. So everybody's frame, right? The frame that, you know, first of all, who's Mary been seeing? You know, that whole frame of adultery. But God had a no, it's not anything sinful here. This is God's work. And so that, thank God, he understood that. And Mary and Joseph were their parents, earthly parents of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous, marvelous truth for all of us. Amen. Now, I'm going to share this with you. There's more examples to share, but here's one that I want you to think about. That all of us will have a new name in heaven. Look at this, Revelation 2, verse 17. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him overcomes, to him I will give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Wow, isn't that something? So that when we get to heaven, you know, however that happens, you know, by rapture, by death, whatever, we're going to heaven with new names, right? So, you know, Patricia and Brian and you know, whatever your name is, you get a new name. And the thing is, it's going to be a name nobody knows except you, I mean, until you receive it, right? So again, just things look forward to. And this is how much God thinks about a name, that he will ultimately change. Even our given name will change, because our frame, I mean, obviously from earth to heaven, now that's the biggest frame change you can have, right? Is go from being mortal to immortal. Let me say again, what's in a name? Let's think about this here in closing. Now, again, we've seen people whose name changed and how it changed their frame and changed their life. And now in our culture, we don't have much control over the name that we're given at birth, right? We don't control much of anything in the first part of our lives, our education, where we live. We have no control over any of that. And so sometimes the circumstances under which people are raised or educated is just not good. But now we are new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we know that we have newness in the new birth. And so it's important to recognize that whatever you lacked in terms of power as a child, you know, unable to control or change anything, you can now change it all. You can change everything, amen, in Jesus' name. And even your actual name can change if you chose to do that legally, but that's not necessary. But it's more important to recognize that your new birth and new creation status has changed your frame, and that needs to guide how you conduct your life. Again, new creation, old things passed away, all things have become new. So think about this. Think about what you need to change in your frame, right? What should change? I mean, even though you're blessed today, you're saved today, but we still need to grow and change, right? Being transformed by renewing of our mind. I want you to think about, you know, what does your name represent? Your given name and the name that you have earned through how you have lived. What does your name represent? When people, you know, hear of you or speak of you, if they know you, what do they speak of or think of? Now, you know, that can go good or bad. Now, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about authentic people, folk that really know you, who really appreciate you, right? Because all of us got some haters out there, you know, but forget them, but focus on who you know you are, who people who value you say about you, right? And so that you may find it necessary to change your frame right now. You may find it necessary to change your frame because maybe you've gotten, for whatever reason, a really poor view of yourself. You've let, you know, the devil accuse you. You've let your own carnal mind beat you down. Worse, let other people into your mind with their negativity. And so it's a good time. It's a good day, right, to change your frame. And what are some things you would like to change that are associated with your name? That's a good question. What are some things you would like to change? I got my own answer. I'm keeping this all to myself. I'm always aware of stuff. We all are aware of ourselves. But the thing is, Jesus saved us, gave us his spirit. We have the mind of Christ. I mean, the worst thing in the world is to stay the same. I mean, that's the most antithetical thing for a believer, is to not change. That's the worst thing, is to stay the same in terms of how we should grow. Now, we're the same in character, but God wants us to change our frame and change our life. And sometimes it happens by changing your name, not your physical name, but changing what you associate your name or yourself with. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this lesson today. Thank you for giving us, Lord, understanding and insight, Lord. Father, help us to see the significance of this lesson, of the examples provided in the lesson. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're not going to settle or become complacent or just think that, like Abraham and Sarah, we're too old to change. We are not going to fall for that lie. We thank you that your power, Lord, is present to do things we haven't seen before. There's no limit to what you can do. And so we don't limit you, Lord God, by limiting ourselves. So, Father, thank you that by your grace and by covenant, we can and will change for the better. Our minds are being renewed day by day by the Spirit of God, by spiritual disciplines we practice, such as prayer, reading the word and serving others, and so much more. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these insights today. Help us to be responsive to you, to one another. Help us to be a light in this dark world. Thank you for us having a good name, representing our honesty and integrity. Thank you that we protect our family name, Lord. Our family name is precious to us as well. We honor our family legacy, Lord, whatever it might be. And we thank you, Lord, now for grace, for healing, for strength and encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen.